How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Just Nobody's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Dean.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash that subscribe button. Hit the like button. If you hit the like button, not only will you have good luck for today and tomorrow and, you know, the week after that, but there's going to be a little cat behind the like button. So you smash that like button, it gives that cat a back rub. So make sure you do it.
I've heard about the cat.
Yeah, don't be, you know, we know you don't F with cats. You gotta be nice to cats.
Oh, that documentary.
Also, comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. You're going to see throughout this video, we took your suggestions from last week and we're talking about it this week. So let's get into the podcast.
Okay, starting out with verses, I thought we would do greatest video games.
Oh my gosh, Dale.
Of all time.
Okay.
What?
Do I know what's so crazy?
What?
I woke up this morning and said, I hope Dale does video games.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I promise you on everything. I said that to myself. I was like, gosh, do you think I should should I tell him he should do video games? Because I had a dream.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a dream. I just woke up. I was like, man, I hope he does video games today.
That's weird.
Yeah. But here we are. Oh my God. Okay. Dude, that is so crazy.
Weird.
This is not a bit. I'm being serious.
Okay. First one. We got to start off simple. Super Smash versus Mario Kart.
Oh, Super Smash versus Mario Kart.
Now, both of them have been very long running games.
Yeah.
Is the first one's Nintendo 64?
The first one, I don't know. I'm assuming Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Because that's the earliest version I've ever played of Super Smash.
Yeah.
Mario Kart also on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think both are amazing games. It's hard. It's like when you compare Taco Bell versus In-N-Out. Both are the best in their niche.
Right.
But I feel like the game that meant the most to me, most replayability, I think it is Super Smash.
Oh, 100%. Super Smash, when they start adding the new characters, you get to fight the new characters to unlock them. That's just a whole different thing.
I know, especially when you'd be playing with your friends or playing with a computer and all of a sudden you get that, you complete the battle and all of a sudden ring, 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 ring. And then there's a mystery character that comes on and, this is a chance to unlock them.
The only thing I remember from Mario Kart that I really wanted, I don't know if this was even an unlockable thing, but I remember I really wanted Metal Mario in Mario Kart. I don't remember if that was an unlock thing.
I don't remember, but I do remember loving to play as Metal Mario.
Yeah, that was a good one. But Super Smash for sure.
Yeah.
Especially Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Remember that one? That one was good.
It was good, but I think the best one was Nintendo GameCube Super Smash.
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
I think that was the best revolutionary game.
Yeah. Okay, GTA 5 versus Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption.
Really?
Red Dead Redemption 2 or...
One.
GTA what?
GTA 5.
Okay. GTA 5 then.
What?
GTA 5 over Red Dead Redemption 1.
Yeah. Really?
Wait, you're surprised when I said Red Dead Redemption over GTA 5. And now I'm saying GTA 5 and you're like, what? I'm like, bro.
Because, I don't know. I'm surprised you switched.
Because Red Dead Redemption 2 is way better than Red Dead Redemption 1.
Really?
In my opinion. There was such a big leap in technological advancements in Red Dead Redemption 2 that made it so much superior than the first game. GTA 5 also had a big jump. Not as big of a jump from GTA 4 to GTA 5.
Uh-huh.
But I think Red Dead Redemption 2 did have a bigger jump. But we're not talking about Red Dead Redemption 2. We're talking about Red Dead 1. So I have to go GTA 5.
Wow. You know what? GTA 5 did change the game.
I just think the community that plays GTA 5 is still huge compared to the community that plays Red Dead Redemption 1. I think Red Dead Redemption 1 was great for its time, and then Red Dead 2 came in, and then it just surpassed Red Dead 1 by a lot.
Okay, yeah. I think I would go GTA 2.
Yeah.
Okay, the entire Hitman series
versus
the entire Uncharted series.
Uncharted.
Yeah.
Uncharted, the story, the mechanics of movement, the way you're able to climb buildings, shoot guns, the storyline, everything's amazing about the acting.
Yeah.
I think that's one game that should, it didn't really do it justice with the Tom Holland movie, but it really has the most potential for a good movie.
Yeah. And I guess when you look at it, we had Assassin's Creed, right? And that was the parkour, free running type of thing.
Yeah.
But you never had that with guns.
Yeah.
And that was the one game where you're like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Uncharted is for the win.
Okay, this is kind of this is very niche games. I don't know if everybody played these.
Okay.
But the original Matrix game on the GameCube versus Max Payne.
Okay. Now, this is where it gets interesting.
Because they're very similar.
It is, and I really believe that Max Payne, if I'm not mistaken, was influenced by the Matrix, because just like the bullet time, freezing time, you know, being able to lunge and jump, you know, and spin and all that, and slow time down. I think it all starts from the Matrix, but I do think Max Payne did a better job at the mechanics of bullet time and jumping in video game format compared to the Matrix, so I would have to go Max Payne.
Yeah, Max Payne was a good game.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. The Last of Us 1 versus Batman Arkham Knight.
The Last of Us 1 or Batman Arkham Knight. Is that, which one is that? I know there's a lot of Arkham games. Is that like 1, 2, 3?
It was like a Xbox 360 PS3.
Oh, Last of Us.
Last of Us was good.
I mean,
you can't, you really can't beat Last of Us.
Yeah, and I do feel Batman was ahead of its time, right? The combat systems, the way you're able to fight, deflect, you know, fighting and blocking and being able to, you know, do all the special attacks.
Yeah.
But I do feel The Last of Us was huge for the gaming industry because it was like a real life story, mm-hmm. right? Obviously not, it's fictional, but it felt like a movie.
Yeah.
While playing a very immersive action game. So I think that was really good.
Yeah. Okay, these two are kind of like, it's a weird one to put up against each other.
Okay.
But it's Fortnite versus Minecraft.
Both have huge followings, yes. Huge communities. I personally love both, but I do feel that I don't really understand Minecraft. Like, I get it. I get it. Okay, you build things, right? There's survival modes. There's, like, the Hunger Games mode. But I wish I could appreciate it the same way so many people do on YouTube, right? The way they're able to play, I want to get into those lobbies. I want to be able to experience the game like that.
Uh-huh.
And I've yet to experience Minecraft like that, yeah. Like what I see on YouTube. Right. And I don't know how you attain that. Like, is it just being on, like, a special server or something?
Like, are you talking about, like, the Hunger Games and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, it just seems like the way, like, Dream and them play.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so different experience than what I get to experience.
Right.
For Fortnite, I feel that you can start up the game,
yeah.
Hop in, and you have the same experience that all the best streamers have. You know, like, yeah, right. You're not as good, but the game that you see on YouTube and online is exactly what you get when you play.
That is very true.
Yeah, so I think Fortnite.
Yeah, Minecraft is it's a very long journey when you play Minecraft. Right, but Fortnite, you get, like, you know what you're getting.
Right.
Okay, the GTA 5 campaign.
Okay.
Versus the Last of Us 2 campaign.
Oh, man. GTA 5 campaign.
What?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
Wait, hang on.
I'll tell you why. Okay, GTA 5, for what it was, right, I don't know if it was the first, but it was definitely one of the first games that I've experienced where you can transition between three different characters, play three different storylines that all come together at the end, uh-huh. right? They all interact, they're intertwining. It was so cool to be able to, like, at any moment, be able to switch to Trevor, you know, to be able to go to Michael, right?
Yeah.
It was so cool to be able to do that. For me, Grand Theft Auto 5 campaign was way, way, way more meaningful to me.
Wow.
Yeah, so I would go Grand Theft Auto 5 campaign. Comment if you guys agree. Like, with the aspect alone of being able to switch characters and the, you know, the connected storyline, I think it's really cool.
I think it's a big question. Like, did you like Last of Us 2? Really?
I think it's okay.
I think it's a very big, like, it's a big divide.
Yeah.
A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's a great game.
Uh-huh.
I like GTA 5 campaign better.
Yeah.
And Last of Us 1 was way better than Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, I mean, like, the fact that they killed Joel was pretty
unnecessary.
It was too quick.
Yeah. They wanted to. They should have split them up, have Joel in one part of the country and the, you know, Ellie on the other. Like, just make them separate.
Yeah. Okay. Spider-Man Miles Morales versus Spider-Man.
Ooh, that's tough. Man, I might get some hate for this, but I do feel this. Okay, I'm all about whoever did it best, right?
Yeah.
Who was the first, you know, who really laid the groundwork down? And I think Spider-Man was so ahead of its time. We've seen great Spider-Man games, but when Spider-Man PS4 came out, it was just so cool to finally have, like, real life mechanics of, yeah. like, web swinging, you know, like, really immersive.
Right. They definitely changed the game with web swinging.
Yeah. Before Spider-Man games, you know, you'd be, like, just swinging. You just shoot the web up into the sky. It's not, like, attached to buildings. It was, like, the whole thing was not real.
Right.
But obviously, Spider-Man is not real. But the mechanics behind it, the way you web swing, everything about it is just so real in the new games. And I have to go Spider-Man over Miles Morales' game.
Wow. I think, okay, I would pick Miles Morales.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I think both stories were really good.
Yeah.
Like, I think Insomniac Spider-Man is one of my, like, favorite stories of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's fair. I do feel that.
But I do like the Miles Morales story, like how you see him kind of train with Peter.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
and now we're
really
going to see in Spider-Man 2.
I know.
Okay, this is the last one. I didn't play these, but it's the Avengers game versus the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Oof. Oh, man.
Because both were supposed to be very, very good. Like, they're supposed to be very beloved games.
Yeah. I mean, it gets a lot of hate, right? The Avengers game gets a lot of hate. But yeah. I do feel that was a superior game. I do feel, you know, having the option to play as all these heroes that, you know, we all love so much, watching them in the movies, and to finally have them in a video game where it looks pretty realistic.
Right.
Was so cool to be able to finally throw a Cap shield, be able to play as Iron Man, be able to play as the Hulk.
Yeah. You know?
They've all had their individual games before, but I think to have them all together with the more current graphics and everything was so cool, and I have to go the Avengers game.
Yeah, I think the Avengers game too. Especially when they added the Infinity or the Endgame suits for all the characters, I think.
Wow.
Okay, so moving on. I think it is time for the scary story.
Okay.
Scary story time.
Okay.
So this is why you should never let your best friend stay at your house.
Wait, why not?
So there's this kid named Mike, and his best friend's name was Charlie, and they grew up together. Like, they were best friends for their entire lives, but they both got into different colleges. So Mike went out of state, but Charlie stayed local. And every year, Mike would come home for the holidays, but he never really had the time to see Charlie. But they still somewhat kept in contact. But one year, Mike's mom called him and told him, don't come home this year because there's like a killer on the loose in the town. But what's weird about this killer, that whenever they kill someone, they take like the victim's fingernail. So there's just a weird serial killer going around in their hometown. So Mike said, okay, I won't come home. But then a few days later, Mike's mom called him again and said Charlie's parents were just found dead and they were victims of the serial killer. So then Mike said he has to come home to make sure Charlie's okay because he hasn't seen him in years, but he needs to make sure that his best friend's okay.
So is a serial killer just killing random people?
Just wait. So Mike came back to his hometown and immediately went straight to Charlie, and all Charlie could do was hug him and start crying because he missed him so much and he was in such disbelief of what just happened. So Mike told him he should probably stay at his house just so Charlie always has company with him. And after a few days, Charlie seemed to get a little bit better. Like, he started going back to work, he started feeling a little bit more normal, but people were still going missing and being found dead, so the serial killer was still out there. But one night, Mike's mom got really sick, so Mike had to rush her to the hospital and he dropped her off there. But when he came back, he found Charlie like going through his closet, and Mike was super confused. But Charlie said like he just needs more shirts because he ran out of shirts, so he needed to borrow one from Mike. And for the next few days, Mike kept catching Charlie like going through his closet and getting different shirts, and almost every week the serial killer was still killing people. And a few weeks went by and Mike's mom started to feel better, so she came home. So while Mike would go to work during the day, Charlie would actually take care of Mike's mom while he was away. But one day when Mike came home from work, he saw a note on the door, and all the note said was, good luck.
Good luck? What does that even have to do with anything?
So Mike immediately ran in the house, and he couldn't find his mom, he couldn't find Charlie, there was nobody. He was running all over the house and he couldn't find anyone. He called Charlie, didn't pick up the phone. He tried calling his mom, didn't pick up the phone. There was nobody there. So then he looked out in the backyard, and it looked like there was a freshly dug hole there, and he knew his mom wasn't strong enough to do that by herself, but he knew that she was sick enough to be the one in it. So he went outside to check the hole, and sure enough, his mom was dead inside the hole. And all of a sudden, he heard a bunch of sirens come into the driveway, and police stormed the house, and they found Mike standing over his dead mom. But then they searched the entire house, and when they got to Mike's bedroom, they searched his closet, and all that was in his closet was a bag of fingernails.
Wait, so his best friend was planting stuff?
His best friend was stashing the fingernails.
So we could assume that the best friend's the killer?
He's the killer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, so what do you think happened to him?
Obviously, every finger pointed at him.
Yeah.
So he was kind of screwed there.
So do we think that the reason why this happened was because the friend was upset?
Yeah, they lost contact.
So he was upset that
Mike went away,
never really check on him. Yeah. And stuff.
Every year he'd come home but never saw him.
Dang, so he took all his frustration out, killed his family, and
yeah,
that's so psycho. Right. That is unbelievable.
It's kind of scary, right? But there's all, what's even scarier, okay, there's this other story about this family that thought like one of their neighbors was a killer. They saw this old, he was like an old man.
Uh-huh.
And they all thought he was like super mean, like super rude. And all the only time they saw him was when he would take out his trash.
Okay.
But every time they try to interact with him, he was always super mean and super rude. So what they decided to do is like they try to spy on him, but trying to like catch him in the act. But
yeah,
if he doesn't come out of his house, they have to go to his house and look in.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they tried to do. And apparently, a few days after they tried doing that, their dog like ran away. Like they went missing.
Okay.
They didn't know where their dog was. But then the next day, it came home, which was weird.
Yeah.
Right, so that it was like the dog ran away, but then within a few days of the dog coming back, it got like really sick and died.
Oh.
Like a month after that, the old man like moved away. But the family thought like since that happened, they're like, I think the old man like caught them and took the dog.
Wow.
And made it sick. Okay, so on to the next thing. We're gonna move on to some whose side are you on.
Okay,
so am I wrong for telling my son he deserved his girlfriend breaking up with him?
What kind of parent is that?
So my son had a long distance girlfriend recently for about 2 years. She was great, a really nice girl, and we all loved her, welcomed her with open arms. She was flying here consistently to visit him, like a weekend, a month, and he didn't lift a finger to go visit her. I tried talking to him about it several times and told him he should really start looking into flying over to to her instead of expecting her to do all the traveling to come to him. He said no, and my wife probably had something to do with it as she constantly told him she was afraid of him flying. I spoke to them both and said this girl is great for him. She was willing to move over to our country too, but said there was one condition, and that was we'd have to fly over to her country too, which was fair enough. He said no, he didn't want to fly or travel anywhere. My son was becoming lazier and lazier, eventually telling us and his girlfriend that he was perfectly fine never traveling anywhere, including during holidays. Last week, he told us she dumped him. I went on her online page and saw that we're all still friends. She wrote us an apology letter about how she was upset it didn't work out, but these things happen, so we're on good terms. And it looks like she's with a new guy already. Me and my wife have no doubt she was seeing him while still in a relationship with my son. I confessed to them both that I actually agree with her decision, and he should have expected it. He did not treat her properly, and I hope he learns lessons for the next one, because he needs to make more of an effort. I said he deserves it for his lack of effort in the relationship, and for essentially just allowing this girl to spend all of her money and time coming over here all this time. My wife and son are very upset that I said this. Very, very upset. And my wife says I'm being a horrible father. Am I wrong for what I said?
You know what's crazy? I think Leia did tell me this story.
Really?
Yeah.
This one's crazy.
And if I remember what I said last time,
yeah,
when I heard this, I think I said that the parents are not wrong.
Yeah, the dad for sure isn't wrong.
Yeah.
The mom and the son are wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Because that is horrible.
It's horrible.
He's making a girl spend all of her money to they're saying travel across country.
Yeah.
Like come to our country.
Yeah.
So she's flying to the country just to see him for weeks and months. And he doesn't want to make the effort to go see her?
Do better.
Bro, you deserved it. You deserved it.
And she don't deserve that.
What is the mom thinking?
She'd be crazy.
But also a few weeks ago, I know I talked about a class that's all about Taylor Swift. Like the psychology behind Taylor Swift. And they offer it at a college. I think it was ASU.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone that's a Taylor Swift fan obviously wants to take that class.
Yeah, so I honestly can't believe this is a real thing. So at Victoria University, the school, they offer a class called The Science of Batman.
The Science of Batman. The superhero.
Yeah, so this course is actually an exercise science class that's all about Batman and the human body and how the human body can be adapted and improved based all around the life of Batman. So this is what the course description says. It will explain the extreme range of adaptability of the human body explored through the life of the Caped Crusader. And it says it will examine human potential using Batman as a metaphor for the ultimate inhuman conditioning.
Wait, so are they training to be like real life Batman?
I don't know, but there's also another class that teaches students how Batman could also be a hero but also be a villain at the same time. So that's all the class was about.
I can't believe these are real college courses where you get college credit for that.
You love Batman, you should take these courses regardless. Like, you would, it's an easy A for you.
When I was in college, I took a Beatles class. I love the Beatles. In turn, I did really well. I got an A in the class and I didn't really have to study because I liked it. So
right.
If you like something and you have a class for it, take it, because it you know it already. You know the answers already.
Yeah, so also moving on to something that I learned this week. Like, this was crazy to me.
What is it?
So did you know that when you see an ant in your house, like anywhere in your house, you're actually not supposed to kill it?
Why wouldn't you kill an ant that's in your house?
So when you really think about it, have you ever killed an ant in the house and then you come back later and there's more ants in that same exact spot than there was before?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you have to kill them so they don't bring all their friends.
Okay, that's where you're wrong, because when you kill an ant, the ants actually release a pheromone to alert the other ants that one of them is dead. So the ants will smell this pheromone in the air and they'll hunt down the dead ant to retrieve the body and actually bring it back so they could bury the body. So technically, the more ants you kill in your house, the more ants you'll have in your house.
I had no idea that ants actually bury each other. That is insane.
Yeah, so they'll go retrieve the ant that died and bring it back. So, but they'll bring a bunch of ants with them. So if you kill one, they'll bring a bunch of ants.
Isn't like the premise of like that war movie Saving Private Ryan, like where it's like no man left behind, they're trying to deliver the body back?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. They're trying to bring the body back to bury it.
Okay, moving on. Now I want to talk about some crazy optical illusions.
Oh.
It'll make you question how your brain works. It actually will tell me how your brain works.
I freaking love optical illusions. Like, they trip me out every time.
Do you know why this photo is one of the most obscure photos to ever exist? It's like, when you look at this, what do you see?
It's just a staircase.
Okay, so this is where it gets crazy. So this photo is actually a shoulder stair optical illusion. So basically, when you look at this photo and I turn it upside down and you blink once.
Wait, it's the same picture.
So now I'm going to flip it back and blink again.
Are you flipping it? It's just the same picture. It's the same thing.
So for everyone at home, when you do this, right, when you flip it upside down, this image should always stay the same once you blink, because your brain adjusts to the image to make you see the staircase.
Do it again. It's the same thing.
But at first it's not, then it turns back to the same thing.
Right. That's weird that you just blink and then it changes.
It's one of those unbelievable optical illusions. They even say that this is one, it's unexplained how your brain's able to switch back and forth just by blinking.
Yeah. It's weird though, when you blink and then it switches to the staircase again, you can't switch it back to what it, like, before you blinked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't reverse it. You have to flip it again, and then you see something different. But once you blink, it's the staircase again.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't, like, reverse it. That is a good point.
That's weird.
That is really weird.
What's wrong with our brains?
Okay, I want to also bring up this thing that I read online within, like, the last couple weeks. It's been happening. It's an ongoing issue that actually could save some people's lives.
Oh, boy.
Do you know why you should never use a public bathroom? Because recently, police are finding that people are actually getting really sick and dying from using public bathrooms.
What would possibly be killing people in a public bathroom?
So just last week, there was an investigation in California where they went in public bathrooms and they found that the toilet paper used in public bathrooms are actually killing people. So what they found was that people that do drugs will go into public bathrooms, get their needle, stick it into the side of the toilet paper to clean off the needle, so all the gunk and the blood and whatever residue gets stuck into the toilet paper, and then they clean off the needle. But since their blood and substances get all over the toilet paper on the inside, it then gets stuck onto the toilet paper when people use it. So when a normal person goes into the public bathroom and they use the toilet paper, they don't see all the poked holes and all the blood on it because usually there's a case around the toilet paper. So some specialists are saying that it's safer to use the toilet seat cover as toilet paper instead of the actual toilet paper.
Okay, I'm never going to use the toilet paper in a public bathroom again. That's crazy.
Yeah, but when you look at the toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
See, they're not stabbing it dead center.
Right.
They're stabbing from the side, right? So you can't see it.
Yeah. You would never be able to know. You would literally never be able to know. Because if they're going in from the side, you will never see it.
Yeah.
So you will literally never see it.
When I was EMT,
yeah,
that was one of the biggest fears. It's like when you deal with, you know, people that are high on certain drugs, if they stab you with their needle, right, not only will you get some of the drug that they had, but if they have any disease in their blood,
yeah,
it immediately goes into your bloodstream and can kill you.
If that needle's even just dirty in general.
Yeah,
right, because they're obviously not cleaning it.
And that's why, too, you can't throw away needles, right? You have to put it in a sharps container to properly dispose it. It's like a red thing in the doctor's office, right? You see it, like
red
casing. You can't just throw a needle in the trash. Okay, so now I want to talk about a question that I've had for a very long time. This character that I'm going to be talking about is from a comic series, movie series, and we all know and somewhat love them. We question why they have this behavior when we watch them.
Ooh, interesting.
Do you know the dark story of Spider-Man? Why J. Jonah Jameson hates Spider-Man so much?
I really don't know why he hates Spider-Man so much.
So the story starts out with Spider-Man agreeing to sit down with J. Jonah Jameson in his house to talk about things. And Jameson asks Spider-Man, why do you do what you do? Why do you terrorize the city? And Spider-Man tells him, I don't terrorize anyone other than you. Jameson gets really insulted by that and tells him, like, no, I want the real answer. Why do you do what you do? So Spider-Man tells him, when I was younger, I did lose someone really close to me and I could have stopped it. And now I just never want that to happen again. So that's why I save people. So Jameson says, that's BS. You endanger more people than you save, and basically telling Spider-Man that you do nothing for the city. And then Jameson tells Spider-Man that he was actually there the day he introduced himself to the world as Spider-Man. And Jameson thought that he was amazing. He was so cool. He was so entertaining. But the moment he started trying to say that he was a hero and saving people's lives, that's when Jameson started not to like him. And the hatred grew more and more.
Why would he hate him for that?
So then Jameson reveals that his wife died and Spider-Man didn't save her. And basically Jameson thought that Spider-Man was responsible for his wife's death because she died as a bystander to one of Spider-Man's battles. Jameson said that his wife did nothing wrong. She was just innocently off to the side. Jameson also reveals that when he was younger, he was mugged. And the mugger that mugged him wore a mask. And ever since then, he always thought that people who wore masks were cowards. And that's why he hates how Spider-Man wears a mask.
Okay, that explains his hatred.
Yeah, so Spider-Man now is starting to feel bad for Jameson, but he tells Jameson, like, you actually made an anti-Spider-Man task force that tried to kill me. You've actually teamed up with villains to try to end me, and you just try to ruin my life completely. Basically, Spider-Man loses and says, like, dude, you're useless. You've done nothing good for society. I've only helped people. Jameson then sits down and he's really quiet and he starts to cry because he starts to realize that he has been useless and he hasn't been doing anything good but ruin Spider-Man's life. Jameson tells him that I have no one. I have lost my family. I've lost my wife. It's just me. So Spider-Man feels really bad for Jameson. So he walks over to him and says, like, hey, you have a family. And he tells him, you're family to me and I care for you. Spider-Man then proceeds to take off his mask and reveals to J. Jonah Jameson that he's Peter Parker. And Jameson thinks this is a joke. Like, what, are you serious? You're Peter Parker? So Spider-Man tells Jameson, like, hey, it's time for you to look past the mask and realize that I've only wanted the best for you as Peter Parker. So all of a sudden, all these police officers are at Jameson's door and Spider-Man realizes that he has to leave. But he tells Jameson, I'm trusting in you that you will keep my identity safe. And Jameson is just in shock. But in that moment, they both had realizations of each other.
Okay, that's actually a really good story. Like, really, it makes a lot of sense.
Because if you don't know that, you just think, like, why does this guy hate Spider-Man so much? It really doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I really wish they would explore that more, like, in, like, the films.
Yeah.
I think they need to do that with, like, Toby.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so good.
Now, you know, I want to bring up a real-life crime that needs to be discussed. Ooh. Because this is also that can help people, you know, save their life.
Yeah.
The more awareness you have, the more opportunities you have to probably not let these things happen.
Right.
So this is why you should never trust your neighbors. So just 2 weeks ago in Tampa Bay, Florida, there was a father named Abdullah, and he has a wife and a baby. And basically their family kept getting noise complaints because their neighbor that lived below them in their apartment building were complaining because they kept hearing the toilet move during the middle of the night and flushing during the middle of the night. So the neighbor's last name was Lee, and he would always text Abdullah in the middle of the night like, hey, I can't sleep. Like, why do you keep doing this? So a few weeks went by and Abdullah and his wife started to feel like really dizzy, really groggy and nauseous, and they were vomiting. And they kept getting sick for months and months. And Abdullah's baby would start to have these symptoms where her eyes were watering, but she wasn't crying, but she was really sick.
So the baby was so sick, liquid was just coming out of its eyes.
Yeah, so a couple days go by and Abdullah's friend came to their apartment to drop off a package. But when the friend entered the apartment, he noticed it smelled very toxic, like chemicals. So right after that, Abdullah called the plumbing company and the air conditioning company to come look at his apartment to check for any toxic leaks. So he got a whole new air conditioning unit. He paid for a cleaning crew to come throughout his whole house and deep clean the whole house. And none of these people found anything wrong with the house. So months go by and they continue to get sick. His baby's sick. So he decides to put a secret camera outside his house to see what's going on outside. So on his camera, he sees who's doing it, and it's his neighbor Lee. And he uses a syringe with chemicals in it, and he's spraying it underneath his door. And it turns out that Lee has his PhD in chemistry, and he made a chemical concoction that he was spraying inside their door jamb that was making them all sick. And the chemical concoction had methadone and hydrocodone, which is very deadly chemicals. So Lee was arrested, and Abdullah is now trying to recover from all this.
Okay, it's really scary that people can poison you from outside of your house.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy, right? You think you're safe inside your own home, like, you know, you control who comes into your house, but you can't always control who's outside your house when you don't know. I think it's really good to have cameras outside your house.
Right.
Just because you don't know what goes on the outside.
Yeah.
Right? People can just walk up to any house. That's what's so crazy.
Yeah, this guy was just squirting it in the door, like on the door jamb.
Yeah. So what he was doing is he was like going underneath the door and in the door jamb. And that's what was getting them sick.
Like a syringe is usually like that big.
Yeah.
So for him to just squirt that much of a chemical into the house and get the entire family sick is crazy.
I know, and it's all on camera.
That's insane.
All right, guys, if you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button, hit the like button. Also, comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. You're going to see throughout this video, or you saw throughout this video, what we talked about, and we took your suggestions, and we did it. So make sure you stay tuned for next week. See you tomorrow on TikTok, and we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
See you on TikTok.